Hi, I'm Cynthia Rothrock.
I'm Casper Van Dien.
Hi, this is Mike Grell, and I'm here with the Long Box guys, whoever the hell they are.
We're on the road, we're going home, to the place where wild nerds roam, with pretty girls and dudes and kids. Going to cons is our escape. It's like Mecca for Geese in a star-filled sky, where you can meet all your heroes and none of them fly.
Hey man, this is Kevin Smith, Silent Bob from all those terrible Jay and Silent Bob type pictures, and you are listening to Thinking Outside the Long Box. Comics talk for comics fans.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Long Box, guys. My name is Thomas Strange, and with me, as always, are some of my best friends and my first Dungeons & Dragons group of all time. How's everyone doing? What are y'all drinking? Let's start with Zig. Zig, also known as Mike Manning, how you doing and what are you drinking?
I am doing fine, and tonight I am drinking some Woodchuck Hard Cider.
Woodchuck Hard Cider sounds delicious. Josh, Mariner Moontide, how you doing and what are you drinking?
I'm doing good. And tonight I'm drinking Trillium's Dialed In Double IPA. Pretty good.
Dialed In Double IPA. There's a lot of D's in that. A lot of alliteration going on. I love it. LT, you never played with us. But you were often hanging around eating snacks with us. How are you doing and what are you drinking?
I'm doing okay, and I'm drinking Johnny Walker Black tonight.
Yeah, you never hung out with us and played the game, but you were always kind of there like a sidekick, like an unwanted sidekick. Speaking of which, tonight we're talking about Barbara Gordon, the Batgirl. A sidekick that no one wanted for a long, long time, except for every homophobic senator during the time period that she was created. And we'll get into a little bit more of that when we talk about why she was created and how she came to be. Who would like to give a background on Barbara Gordon?
I'll take care of it.
Mike is our... Yeah, there you go.
So Barbara Gordon was created in response to the television show, the Batman 1966 television show. They wanted to get a female character in there. The writers for Batman and Detective Comics came up with an idea to reinvigorate the Batgirl persona. And make it Commissioner Gordon's daughter, Barbara Gordon. So she first appeared in Detective Comics number 359 in January of 1967. And then things didn't go well from there. First, she was seen as an annoyance to Batman and Robin. Later on, she became so popular, she actually got headlined in Detective Comics. It was called Batman and Batgirl. For a little while. Later on, the Batman Family comic came around, and she and Robin took the lead in the Batman Family stories, mostly alluding to the fact that there was some sort of attraction between Batgirl and Robin, even though other comics had had her crushing on Batman. Later on, she retired from being Batgirl, went on to be a congresswoman, and then The Killing Joke happened, in which the Joker, in order to drive Commissioner Gordon crazy, shoots Barbara Gordon, leaving her paralyzed, and then takes naked photos of her and shows them to the commissioner, trying to get him to just crack because he's having a really bad day. After that, she was left on the shelf for a while until Kim Yale and her husband, friend of the podcast, John Ostrander, decided to grab her off the wreckage that was the paralyzed Barbara Gordon and make her into another superhero called Oracle, this time using her skills as a librarian, transforming it over into computer skills and making her the ultimate hacker. She first started appearing in Suicide Squad, then later on got her own title called The Birds of Prey, which she teamed up with Black Canary and the Huntress, along with a whole bunch of other female superheroes in the DC universe. Actually, she was Oracle longer than she was Batgirl. But then when the New 52 came around, DC Comics decided they didn't want a hero that, you know, people in wheelchairs could look up to. So they miraculously cured her, turned her into Batgirl again, and in the Rebirth comics, they've made her even younger than she was before. So Yeah, not a big fan of the new Batgirl iteration.
One point of contention there. Batgirl first appears in 1961, but that is not the original. But that is not the Batgirl that we all know. That Batgirl was Betty Kane, and she was the first Batgirl in American comics. But also, same, Mike, you seem to want to interrupt on that?
No, I said she took over the mantle of Batgirl.
Yeah, she took, no, 1980, so the 1961 Betty Kane. And she later joined the Teen Titans and was a general pain in the ass to the Teen Titans for a while. And I agree with you 100%. I liked my Oracle the way she was. And I thought that it was a great thing to have a differently abled person represented so well in comic books. Some of my favorite memories of Barbara Gordon is more of Oracle than it is of Batgirl. But I love Batgirl, too. So I guess we have a lot to talk about on that. Mikey, who did you love better, Batgirl or Oracle? And what was your favorite Barbara Gordon storyline?
So if I'm going to decide between Batgirl and Oracle, it's obviously going to be Oracle. I thought she served a much better purpose, uniting all the heroes, connecting the entire Batman family with the logistics. She became the proverbial man in the chair.
Man in the chair.
Yeah, and that's what she was. She even has better villains as Oracle than she did as Batgirl. As Batgirl, her main villain was Killer Moth, and as Oracle, her main villain was the Calculator, who's a lot cooler than he sounds. So
he'd have to be.
He would have to be. If I'm going to choose my favorite Batgirl story, I'm going to go back to her original appearance in Detective Comics number 359. And only because I loved her costume, because she could turn her mask was actually a beret that she would just fold down. She took her skirt off and it became her cape. She reversed her purse and it became her utility belt. Holy crap. Was she Taylorific?
She was the first Transformer, if I'm not mistaken.
It was
GoBot.
It was great.
She wasn't cool enough to be a Transformer. She had to be a GoBot. And we should do that podcast at some point.
Yeah. She's got a bunch of great Oracle stories. If you want to read a Calculator versus Oracle story, I'd go with the Oracle, the Cure. It's a three-issue series where the Calculator is trying to cure his daughter, Wendy, from the Wendy and Marvin fame. Who is in a coma by rewriting the anti-life equation that he stole from Darkseid. It's a very good series. Oracle is obviously the central figure of it. If you want to read a single-issue story, I would definitely go with Birds of Prey, Volume 1, Issue Number 8. It is just Barbara Gordon going on a date with Dick Grayson. It's just really nice and pleasant. It gives you a good insight into their relationship and how Barbara deals with what has befallen her. She doesn't let it dictate her whole life, this tragedy, like, you know, some Bat characters would. If you want a good storyline, I recommend you pick up Nightwing Volume 5, The Hunt for Oracle. It's from his 96 to 2009 series. It's a four-issue series. It crosses over Birds of Prey and Nightwing, where the villain Blockbuster is trying to track down Oracle, and she is forced to use all her tricks to get out of it.
I'm sorry. We're going to have to go back a little bit. Wendy of the Wendy and Marvin fame?
That's right. The Wonder Twins are in the comic books. They were members of the Teen Titans, and they are the children of the Calculator.
Well, they weren't the Wonder Twins. That was Zan and Jaina, you moron.
I'm sorry. My bad. Super Friends fan.
Wow, that's rough.
But no,
I just have to say, the villain Blockbuster is eventually defeated by Netflix, by the way.
I was going to say the villain streaming.
he's actually had to retire to Alaska where the last known six Blockbusters exist.
Hey, quick question for you. You guys want to guess how Marvin gets killed?
By a Martian?
Drowns. Mysteriously.
The XB29B modulator.
LT, you got a guess?
It's serious, Johnny, because that means Xan and Jaina got him.
I'm going to say that he was killed by a monkey.
Drowned in a bucket of water?
You are actually closest, LT. He was mauled by Wonder Dog.
Why did Wonder Dog maul Marvin?
I don't know.
Oh, he had it coming.
Yeah. He had it coming.
They had to put Wonder Dog down after that.
They did. The old yellow Wonder Dog.
Yeah, the old yellow Wonder Dog right after
that. They took him out back, and with a shovel, they beat him his brains out.
And that's why you always throw the ball with Wonder Dog. You don't pretend to throw the ball with Wonder Dog.
don't psych out Wonder Dog. All right. That was a little wad. Let's go over to you, LT. Oracle or Batgirl, and what's your favorite storyline?
Well, I like Batgirl. I mean, I obviously have not read anywhere near as much as Mikey, but my favorite storyline was when Batgirl ran for Congress back in Detective Comics 422 to 424, and my favorite book would be Batgirl's Last Case, where she actually won, and her bodyguard, Jason Bard, was about to be taken out by the mafia, and Batgirl, Barbara Gordon, tailed him and defeated the mobsters that were going to kill him. And then he later went back to where she was supposed to give her speech, you know, basically, you know, outlining her accepting, you know, being congressperson. And he saved her life because the microphone was rigged to electrocute her as soon as she turned it on. And so that was my favorite story, because not only did she save somebody, but by saving that person saved her. It was like instant karma.
And we all love instant karma, especially the Beatles.
Exactly.
Josh, Batgirl or Oracle, and what's your favorite storyline?
Once again, I wasn't really digging into DC, and so I will put forth in probably not the best way the battle between Yvonne Craig and Dina Meyer. So...
Thank God. I thought you were going to say The Killing Joke was your favorite Batgirl story.
I'm not going that bad. I'm not being that chauvinistic, Mike. I'm just being slightly chauvinistic. And now I don't know if you've seen the pictures of Yvonne Craig when she was young. She's gorgeous. Like, absolutely. I mean, for that time and era, just seeing her on screen as a young man –
Sploosh is the word you're looking for. Sploosh.
Get out of there. Yeah, I just loved Yvonne Craig. She was awesome. Absolutely beautiful. Loved her in the role. She lived a long and wonderful life. And she only passed away 2 years ago. And then, of course, which we spoke about last podcast, I just ordered the Birds of Prey DVD series off Amazon. I've got my 10 episodes to watch, where I've got Dina Meyer to watch on a TV show. I'm not sure there's anything else to watch there, but certainly if Dina Meyer's in it, it's certainly worth watching, just for the long, uncomfortable hug. That's it.
Well, all right. That actually goes right over to me very easily, because my favorite Batgirl memory is Batgirl, not Eva, not Oracle. And I love the old TV show. The TV show I thought was terrific. I can't pick a favorite episode of that TV show. But the PSA where Batgirl is demanding equal pay is hilarious. And if you go to our Twitter page right now, it's on there somewhere, because I just put it up today. You're going to be listening to this in about a week. I assure you it'll still be up there somewhere. This came out the same year that the Congress passed the Equal Pay Initiative or Act, I mean. And it's really funny to watch, you know, these cartoon characters trying to explain why women should be paid as much as men. It's a terrific PSA. The old cartoons were – I mean, the old TV show was terrific. I loved them. Anyone have any last words to say? Oh, she also drove a really cool motorcycle.
Also, Yvonne Craig played green slave girl with whom Captain Kirk had a love interest with in Star Trek.
I did not know that.
That's all I got. That's all I got on the whole subject.
The whole subject. That's all we need to know about Yvonne Craig.
And I believe the motorcycle is at the Peterson Museum in L.A.
Really? I'd go see that.
Yeah. They have one of the bat cycles, and I believe it's hers.
It's not at the Getty?
It's not at the Getty.
It's probably not at the Getty. anyone have any last words to say? We made a few jokes about the Killing Joke, but that was a big, important comic book, I think. It really delved into a lot of issues about mental health and stability. They talked a lot about what it takes to create a character like the Joker and how Joker was trying to create other people like him. Joker thought that he could drive the Commissioner insane with just one bad day, and Commissioner Gordon's day was really bad. Let's not forget how horrific that day was.
But the Joker forgot Commissioner Gordon had been in Vietnam.
He had a couple other bad days.
Yeah, he had a lot of bad days.
Anybody else with a word of parting on our friend Batgirl? How about the new Batgirl? We never even touched on the new Batgirl or the fact that Joss Whedon's making a Batgirl.
Yeah, I hope he cripples her.
Well, that's...
Because I'd rather see an Oracle movie than a Batgirl movie.
An Oracle movie down the line?
Yeah.
That's fair.
I imagine she would finish her adventure and be like, whew, we made it. I can't believe I stuck that landing. And then a spear would come through and just pierce her.
I am a bat on the wind. The end of the end of the movie would just be her relaxing at home, and all of a sudden
the doorbell rings.
Yeah,
why does she have a dog in this scenario?
That's Ace the Wonder Dog.
Oh, all right.
Or the tugboat's wandering around looking at every door. Sorry, guys. I did knock on something. Now my wife's awake. I've disrupted my home.
So, okay. Tangentially, Commissioner Gordon's experiences in Vietnam, where he has, you know, he's been forced to see things that no one should have to see, and him coming back to society and then having the Joker sort of try to enforce his will on him in order to see if he would break, makes me think of Rambo, First Blood. Now, I don't know if you guys have ever actually read the book First Blood.
Wait, what? Who read the novelization of First Blood?
No, it was a book first.
Okay.
And it's actually a very interesting novel about how separate John Rambo and the police chief both come back to the United States, one being a broken person who becomes basically a homeless vagrant and a wanderer, and the chief who comes back and settles back in society successfully and uses his skills in a positive way, and how they conflict in a small town. If you've never read First Blood, it's actually a very interesting book that is not quite the gun-toting, I'm just some killer in the woods book that the movie turns out to be. So it's actually a very good read, and I recommend it to all of our listeners if you really want to see something that's a psychological telling of two minds and how they come back from Vietnam. It's excellent.
That sounds like a way better movie. Why don't we make that movie?
I know. So there's my tangent. So what book was so much – I don't know, I have to say better, because I loved Rambo. The first movie was really good. It just was so different from the book. And so what book-movie combo are just total page flips from what they are? Just a representation versus what was on screen. The page versus the screen. Totally different.
Go ahead, Tommy.
Dune, the first Dune movie that was done by who did Twin Peaks, the book was so vastly much better than the movie.
Better, and but not was, that different.
But not that different. The intent was sort of similar.
The intent was similar, but I always pictured in the book that things were much more less flashy. In terms of House Atreides, I always pictured it being much more plain and and militaristic instead of the flashy representation in the movie. And also,
what I'm asking you to do is don't disregard execution. I'm talking about a different interpretation, two sides of a coin. And I know what Tom's going to say. I know what he's going to say.
What am I going to say?
Blade Runner.
No. Close. That's my second. But the one that is completely different, iRobot, for fuck's sake.
Oh, God, yes.
Yes. Another one. Another one where, yeah.
The only thing that had in common was the title.
Insanely different. Like, hey, robots don't kill, so this robot couldn't have been a killer. And then, hey, let's make all the robots insane killers. What the fudge? That one couldn't have been more different. That's like the high watermark of what the frack are you doing? And Frankenstein is my third.
Well, there are definitely ones that just go completely off the rails. Let's not forget. I mean, and I'm not even talking intent from story here. I'm just talking we stole a title and it has nothing to do with anything. Lawnmower Man.
Yeah, Lawnmower Man. Jesus Christ, what the hell?
Like, I am a native natural sprite eating grass with my teeth, too. I am a computer program, some flipped out shit. What the hell was that?
Yeah. Mikey, you got one?
Nope.
After all that, no? Nothing? Nope?
I got a lot of comic books that I could rant and rave about, but if it doesn't have pictures in it, I'm lost.
Mike doesn't read books, like learning books.
Words are hard.
You have like 4 degrees, Mike. I think you've read a book or two, for Frank's sake.
And full circle, Starship Troopers was the same way for me.
Yeah, Starship.
Book to movie. Yeah.
To me, Starship Trooper was a diatribe about why people who are in the military should be the only ones allowed to vote. But that's kind of allegorical.
Yeah.
I still believe that, by the way. Wouldn't have had Trump.
I believe they're the only people who should have the right to carry a concealed weapon.
There are plenty of veterans.
No. Having served in the military, trust me on this. No, no.
Well, you realize all those people already do.
Yeah.
And at least there was some sort of screening and accountability, including DNA, fingerprints, background checks.
Oh, it's a good point. They got a lot of our stuff on record.
They got all you all on record.
We're a little easier to find than the average Joe Schmo. Yeah.
And you did get trained in using a firearm.
Very specific firearms.
Well, but still.
It's like making love to a woman. Every single one of them is different, man.
True.
Yeah. Because I put my penis in a gun all the time.
But still more than what is required for an actual, firearm.
Anyway, that's the end of my tangent. Carry on.
A great tangent. Mikey, let's go to the front of the long box and see what you got in there for us today.
In the front of the long box, I have Hawkman Found, part of the Dark Knight series. It's a tie-in with the current Metal series that's been going on throughout all the DC titles, starring Hawkman. He's actually the only real character in the book. It is a psychological thriller written by Jeff Lemire, delving into Hawkman's past and where Hawkman goes after he dies and before he's reborn and what happens to him there. So,
Delaware.
I don't want to give it away, so I'm not going to confirm or deny it's Delaware, but I will highly recommend this to LT. I know you like it, and if you are a fan of Jeff Lemire, his work, you will also enjoy it. It's the prelude to the Hawkman series that Jeff Lemire is going to be writing, hopefully saving Hawkman from the scrap heap that Rob Liefeld tried to leave him on.
I can't wait to read it.
They put Hawkman in the hands of Rob Liefeld at some point?
Yes, in the New 52, and it was god-awful. Yeah. But he never had more muscles than when Rob Liefeld was.
Yeah.
Oh, Rob Liefeld's the guy that drew that awful Captain America chest, right?
Right, yeah. Yeah. He just same guy. Muscles on muscles on muscles on muscles, yeah.
Captain America couldn't breathe or turn his head for a while.
Yeah, what was his initial punch into image, Liefeld's? Was it the Wild? Was it Wildcats or the other one?
Youngblood.
Okay. Youngblood. Yeah. Now, after every time I hear that, I just think of that stupid hockey movie.
Oh, whoa, whoa, whoa!
That was not a. Whoa, hey, whoa, whoa!
Hey, hey. That don't you start with me, Opper? I swear to God, I will come across this modem and crush you if you say anything bad about probably the greatest Rob Lowe hockey movie of all time.
I just want to say great for our hockey
movies. One of the three great hockey movies of all time.
Yeah, I got just called you that
modem. Slap Shots.
Yeah, Slap Shots number one. Mighty Ducks.
Slap Shots. Mighty Ducks and Youngblood tied.
Miracle. Go any way you want. Miracle's not Miracle. Bad.
Four. Four. Fuck them.
Wow. Did you just put the Mighty Ducks in front of Miracle?
Yeah.
For a hockey movie?
Yeah, because Mighty Ducks was real. There's a team in Anaheim called the Mighty Ducks. There's not a team called Miracle.
Plus, it had the most insanely racist joke in all of history in the middle of it, in the Mighty Ducks. Oh, the Oreo attack wasn't racist as hell.
It's not racist. That's just funny.
Yeah, it's visually descriptive.
It's a little racist.
A little racist.
A little racist.
All right.
So when let me ask you a question. When me and this other guy had our fantasy football team, he's black, I'm white, and we called ourselves Ebony and Ivory. Is that racist?
No.
If those two kids had been Asian, they called it the Golden Oreo. Would that have been racist?
Well, in the next movie, they do have the reverse Oreo play.
No, now that you say it that way, it is kind of a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit. Plus, Oreo itself is a slur. Black on the outside, white in the middle. Yeah. It refers to African-Americans who try to act or are perceived as acting as white.
Yeah, my wife got Twinkie in high school. Yellow on the outside, white on the inside. Yeah.
Yellow on the outside, yeah. So Twinkie, Oreo, these are racial slurs that we're trying to avoid. And using them as a pun in a movie is maybe something we might not want to do, especially Disney.
So.
They are delicious. They are. You know they're vegan?
They are vegan, yeah. There's absolutely nothing real in them whatsoever.
That's
basically
right.
Just a plastic tube of joy.
Chemical stew is all that is. Tommy, what do you got at the back of the long box for me?
I've got Apocalyptic Girl, an aria for the end times by Andrew McLean. He did the writing and the artwork for this book. This was a great book put out by Dark Horse, kind of a short story about a post-apocalyptic world with a girl, Aria, and her cat. In it, man has weaponized the Grand Photon, which is basically kind of like the atom bomb, if you will. It was meant to be an energy source, and man managed to weaponize it, destroy most of the world, and Apocalyptic Girl is living in the apocalyptic society, trying to eke out her living. And little book with a fantastic ending. Yes.
I'm sorry. So you're saying she's an apocalyptic girl in a apocalyptic world.
Exactly, Tom. And that is the only reason I chose this book, was so that you could sing that rendition of that 80s song.
Thank you. I think it was the 90s. Well, for my little bit on social justice, I just want to do a little plug, and that is for Black Lightning. If anyone hasn't seen it yet, race to the TV as soon as you are done with this podcast. Put it on any streaming venue and watch it. So much goodness in there. I can't believe it. Tony Isabella is not well. Tony Isabella's character has been knocked out of the park by the CW, and I'm glad it came out so well. Did anyone get a chance to see it yet?
Oh, yeah. I watched it today.
Yep.
I haven't watched it yet.
After this.
Right after this. Okay. Go and see it, guys. Remember, I mean, it's no Galaxy Raiders, The Legend of Jax Grimm. But it is awesome.
Space Raiders.
I can't remember what it was.
Look, I only have one problem with the Black Lightning TV show. And I'm going to say it now. I don't care who's listening, who disagrees with me. But
I'm going to guess what it is.
Go ahead, L.
There's no Afro wig.
There's yes, no Afro there's mask. No fro mask. You are correct, LT. There is no fro mask.
I did think the fro mask was cool. It was a cool idea.
I don't understand how his daughters could just look at him and not realize, oh, hey, that's my dad. Because he's got a little domino mask on. But a fro mask would have worked.
Yeah. Plus, nobody, you're like, hey, we're looking for a guy with an afro. No one has one. We're going to find this guy, no problem. Man, no one can find this guy. You put an African-American superhero in a 70s afro wig, he is unfindable.
Just saying.
Just saying.
It well, was I guess, way ahead of its time.
It was. He took a lot of heat for that, Tony Isabella, for the visual on that one. But I really think it was kind of cool. I can't think of too many other superheroes, maybe a couple of female ones who wore wigs to disguise themselves. I think Batgirl had a wig for a while, right?
Yes.
Yeah, she's not a natural redhead.
Well, in the TV show, she wore a wig, but in the comic books, she did not.
So I guess that brings us over to plugs, guys. Do we have anything good to plug?
Yeah, I would like to plug the February 22nd appearance of Eddie and the Whirlpools at 8 p.m. at the Back Porch Bar in Pensacola, Florida. That's right. If you haven't seen Eddie and the Whirlpools, what's wrong with you? Go ahead and join their YouTube channel. If you like geek rock music, you check out Kirby Crackle, who provides our geek rock music every week. You can buy their music at kirbycracklemusic.com. And if you're in the mood for podcasts, check out the Nola Nerd Couple podcast if you are a fan of music, because Mr. Nola Nerd knows a lot about music.
I'd like to plug geekorthodox.com, purveyor of fine t-shirts and other geeky things. And I'd also like to say, and now, a word from our sponsors. But I can't, because we don't have any yet. If you'd like to sponsor our podcast, please let me know at lt@outsidethelongbox.com, and we can talk rates.
And I think we should also thank all our new fans who are listening to us on Stitcher and Google Podcasts. Welcome to the show.
Welcome to the show that never ends, my friends. Nice, nice double take on that one, guys.
Yeah.
I love that. All right. That was like the stereo.
Yeah.
All right. I guess that does it for us, guys. Does anyone have any parting words of wisdom? Mikey, what is this podcast like to you?
It's like Drunk History, but for comic books.
And Josh, we're going to be in Pensacola. We're going to have to fly into Atlanta. Now, Atlanta has some great bars. Some of that should be your district.
No, I believe there's just one Irish bar in Pensacola that is my that's my sector.
Oh, yeah. What's the name of that place?
McGuire's.
McGuire's.
Oh, yeah.
McGuire's is my sector.
That brown bread. Oof. Ooh, that's good bread. And that bread would instantly kill LT. LT, any parting words for us?
Yeah. This isn't the podcast you desire.
No,
but
no,
that's money.
Now,
chill for us, bitch.
So, for just the cost of a cup of coffee a day, you could
get some big seal eyes, like you're about to be clubbed to death by people.
For just the cost of a cup of coffee per day,
that's not going to work with him. He's pro clubbing baby seals. You're going to have to get something.
I am totally pro clubbing baby seals. if you wanted me to do it that way, I could totally do it that way. For just the cost of a cup of coffee per day, you too could support this podcast, and I would be happy to go out on the pack ice and club baby seals with you. If you got a way to get out on the pack ice, I would happily do that. I mean, those seals are killers.
Problem is, there's no more pack ice.
It's true.
That's not what Iceman said. And hey, don't forget what I always say. Don't diss what you hate. Just promote what you love. We're all going to live a lot longer.
Except
love you guys.
Baby bye-bye. Seals.
Except those baby seals.
Highway miles away like sunfire, no stopping tonight. A double double, the only thing that can break our stride. Forger and blast, and we're rocking the cruise through a
It's like Drunk History, but for podcasts.
And Josh.
No, let me try that again.
It's like podcasting for drunk. You don't know.
Shut up. You don't know me. You don't
It's like
know
drunk
me.
Casting for pod people.
Broadcast.
It's like Drunk History for yeah. God damn it. It's not like I've ever said this before. It's like Drunk History.
Yeah.